and welcome to Home Baked Tales. My name is Cressa, and thank you for joining me today for The Puppet Master's Revenge. The Puppet Master's Revenge is the first book in a series of books starring the A-Duo. Aaron tells the story. Snuggle up for The Puppet Master's Revenge. The Puppet Master's Revenge. Blood splattered across my face, and Aaliyah ran to help me up. I heard the heavy breathing of my pet dragon. All this had happened since the Puppet Master had attacked the academy, where I was just humbly trying to study. The Puppet Master and his sidekick Pipit had destroyed the warden keystones, turned their backs, and said, "With the keystones broken, students won't be able to enter the academy and fill their little minds with knowledge." After that, Gail, the academy keeper, who was having a heart attack with worry, sent pairs of rookie wizards to find pieces of the keystones. But the Puppet Master had put mind illusion spells on usually gentle animals. And on the way to the warden pieces, we, the students, had to battle the monsters. So that brings us to now, with me lying on the hard ground. Aaliyah mopping the blood off my face with her shirt. "Go," I said meekly, propping myself upon my arms. "Fight the monster," I encouraged. "Aaron, help me," Aaliyah pleaded. I did the only thing I could do to help her. I handed my partner my wand. "With double the power, you'll overpower the creature, who only has a few spells to choose from." Aaliyah nodded, knowing I had done my best to help. I pulled myself onto Stormy, my dragon, to watch the battle and cheer on my friend. Stormy's wings created a safe shelter, for it started to rain. I felt bad leaving my friend, partner, and constant companion to battle the animal all by herself, but I was feeling very woozy from the injury to my head. I only saw one thing before I was knocked unconscious. It was my friend's beaming face, for she had won the battle. Next thing I knew, Stormy was flying, Aaliyah was tending to my wound, and it had stopped raining. I thanked Aaliyah for her hospitality, but said that I was feeling fine now and sat up. Then I saw something. It was a cave. "There might be warden pieces in there," I gasped. Aaliyah looked at me. "What is it?" she asked curiously. I pointed. "Look." I knew at that instant that she was thinking the same thing, for she pulled Stormy down towards the caverns. He led us off, and I told him to stay, because it was too narrow for two wizards and a dragon to fit. At this time, I felt that Stormy understood, and he let me tie him up to a tree near a lake and pat his nose. That's when I ran back to Aaliyah and signaled a thumbs up. "Let's go," she said, her voice lacking the confidence to make me feel secure. I gulped, but not to show my fear, led the way bravely in the dark, scary passage. I lit my wand. "Black is like night, and night is not scary," I whispered, though it didn't calm my mind, "because there could be anything down there." I shivered, though it was not cold. Suddenly, Aaliyah slipped. I tried to grab her hand, but was pulled down into a deep, smelly hole. "Ah!" the two of us screamed. I didn't care that I was openly expressing my fear anymore. I mean, don't think I'm a baby for screaming when I'm falling into a seemingly bottomless pit with nothing to hold on to and nobody to save me. Aaliyah grasped my hands. I wished Stormy had followed us, and I felt something I had felt just a few hours ago, the cold, hard ground. "Oof," I exclaimed. My wand's light had long since gone out. Aaliyah pointed. "There's light coming from down that passageway," she said. There was indeed light. Aaliyah confidently started down that way. I followed uneasily. We didn't know where it was going to lead out. I almost ran and stopped my friend, who I wanted to be safe, but didn't, reminding myself that this was for Gail, the academy, and the keystones. so I started forward. I ran to catch up. "Wait up," I shouted, but Aaliyah didn't answer. "It's me, Aaron!" Still no answer. I started to get nervous. "Aaliyah," I said, my head filling with dreadful thoughts. "Where are you?" I sprinted through the tunnel, calling her name. Then I heard a shriek. I would recognize that voice anywhere, but it wasn't my partner's. It was Gail's. "Gail? Why would Gail be down here?" I whispered. Why he had come down didn't matter. I needed to help him. I followed the sound of his voice until he was in view. There, towering over Gail, was an earth giant. Hurling stones at 100 miles per hour, the giant roared, "How dare you take my precious gems?" "I'm sorry, sir," she said. "I need them to heal my unicorn," Gail stuttered. Then I noticed a very familiar figure holding on to the giant right below his neck. It was my partner. She had gotten there first. I jumped up onto the giant's open palm and cast a spell that hit him in the face. Unfortunately, it just made the giant angry, very angry. He shook me off and I smashed into Gail. We tumbled to the ground. And the earth giant seemed to take this as an advantage and smashed the ground beneath us. I scrambled to my feet, so, if needed, I could run. That's when I spotted it. It was a bit of magic ivy that, as I had learned in the academy, would paralyze a giant. Grabbing a tiny leaf, I climbed up the giant's hulking mass and lightly touched the ivy to his cheek. Then he froze. Paralyzed. Still. Aaliyah squeezed out from in between two big fingers and smiled at me. "Aaliyah, why did you run away like that? I didn't know where you were, and that worried me," I said, getting mad. "I just heard Gail calling and needed to help him," said Aaliyah, her voice starting to break. I felt bad for being so harsh with my wording. Gail patted my back and squeezed Aaliyah's shoulders. By this, I knew that Gail was very thankful for her help. "Well, I'd best be going. I need to tend to Soldier," Gail said. Soldier is the name of his unicorn steed, who had been sick since March. I reached for Aaliyah's hands, but she pulled away, telling me not to be so touchy. I could tell by the tease in her voice that she forgave me for being harsh and that we'd better be going. Side by side, but not holding hands, the two of us continued down the passageway. That was until we found the light source. It was a glowing crystal ball. "Ooh, maybe it can tell her fortunes," Aaliyah crooned. I looked at her like she was an oddball. "You're kidding, right?" I said. "Well, yeah, a fortune-telling thing is for babies. I'm never, ever going to believe a cookie or a tea leaf or an old glass ball," Aaliyah responded. That is when the room turned chilly, freezing actually, or should I say deathly cold. "For babies," came a voice, speaking quietly but coldly. Aaliyah and I froze. There was this otherworldly presence, like it was something else in this cavern with us, something perhaps powerful and evil. Afraid, Aaliyah grasped my arm, a gesture that had become familiar. "Show yourself," I said bravely. "Why should I obey a child?" boomed the voice. "I am not a child," I responded, feeling even braver. Then Aaliyah let go of my hand. "Yeah, that's right," she said. I smiled at her, thanking her for coming to my defense. "What are you going to do? Tell my future?" I asked. The figure sighed. "You're too young to understand. You're so naive, too naive to hear the story of tragedy, the story time itself cannot stop questioning." I tried standing a little taller. "I am not too young," I said. "Oh, very well then, here goes." Voice took on a somber tone. "Once there was a child. Her name was Kara Dean. She was a peaceful child, quite pretty actually. As you may be starting to realize, that girl was me. At the time, I was very young and agile. At only age 10, I was sent overseas with my grandfather, Rupert. My old man was in the army and being sent for war, the first one since I had been born, and I was scared for him. I was going to stay in an apartment with my Aunt Bertha and Uncle Marty. My parents were poor and couldn't afford for another mouth to feed. I'm not saying Bertha and Marty weren't kind, but I had never met them and had a deep connection with Grandpapa. One day, the three of us got a letter saying Papa had gotten extremely sick and would appreciate a visitor. I fell to my knees and started sobbing when I heard the horrible news. Still, now pained me to think about that moment. We rushed to his side. I even whispered a prayer. Everyone was sad. The last thing Rupert said was in a whisper, and he used his last breath to tell me. Lee and I were excited for what the female voice would say next, but waited solemnly out of respect for her deceased relative. She continued, he lifted his arm and beckoned for me to come closer. At that moment, I had stopped crying and was silent, for I knew these words were important. Kara, dearest, he said, the battle for life inside me has come to an end, but there is still a battle going on outside. He motioned towards the tent flap. You must fight the sadness emanating from your heart, and he stopped his speech. That is why I am like I am now, sad and lonely. I moved on to witchcraft, making remedies for the sick and healing lotions for the injured. I shall become visible, but I shan't become humble, especially in front of a couple of meek, inexperienced rookies. The witch's invisible cloak slowly slid off her shoulders, and there she was, her face pale as snow, and eyes black as night itself. Before you pass, help me solve the riddle that my grandfather told long ago. I was startled. Why? I asked. What have we done to have to solve your problem? What did we do wrong? The witch didn't answer, but there was a gleam to her eyes, and it made me feel uneasy, like there would be consequences. I gulped. Alia nudged me with her elbow. I mean, yes. We will help. Yes-siree. Alia nudged me again. Sorry, mammy. I shuddered. The witch smiled. Very well, then. Let me repeat myself. Ahem. Yes, you must fight the sadness emanating from your heart, and she stopped. May we have a sheet of paper, please? I asked politely. Alia shot me a look. Sorry, I said. I knelt on the ground, and Alia sat next to me. Well, what do you think? Alia asked impatiently. I shrugged. Dunno, I said. Well, I think she was supposed to fight the battle outside, Alia said. Yeah, but she didn't, and nothing horrible happened, I said. Yes, maybe you're right, but there has to be at least one solution, Alia admitted. I nodded. Exasperated, I kicked a rock across the room, making the witch laugh evilly. I reached into the depths of my thoughts. I shut out all the noises, except the sound of my calm, even breathing. Alia shook my shoulder, but I ignored her. Arrow boy, you all right there? I heard Alia faintly say. Go away, I thought, trying to think. It felt as if she heard me, for she laughed. I was getting something. I needed to dive down a fraction deeper, so I shut out the sound of my breath. I had got it. I had got the answer. I had grasped it, now only if I could hold on. Find your purpose, I yelled. You've ought to find your purpose in life. That's when I opened my eyes and looked at the witch. Alia started to sway. There was a power, my power, and it told me I was right. Directed a thought to the witch, Miss Kara Dean, and it seemed to give her the power to do what the tiny, tiny thought said. I heard a boom, and then the witch was gone. I felt I was feeling weak and woozy, even more woozy than I was feeling when I took the spill during the battle. I drained my cup, the cup filled with magic, while helping Miss CD, as I am starting to call her, and needed to rest, sleep. I snuggled down. My cloak felt like the softest thing on earth. Aaliyah sat next to me, with awe in her voice, in the sort of respect she said, "How did you do that back there? Is it your newly found power?" "I have no idea," I answered groggily. Aaliyah lay down on her side, and she was soon asleep. Before I did the same, I took off Aaliyah's cloak and draped it over her. When the two of us awoke, the first thing we said was, "I'm hungry!" Aaliyah grasped my hands and broke into a fit of giggles. She couldn't stop. I rolled my eyes. Before she could fall backwards, I grabbed her arm. "Sorry, couldn't help it," Aaliyah said, wiping away tears. She fastened her cape around her neck. I reached into my pocket and found a packet of dried cranberries. I gave some to Aaliyah and some to my belly. It was very thankful. Finishing up her snack, Aaliyah said, "Shall we continue, brave knight Aaron?" I chuckled. "Yes, we shall, gallant Princess Aaliyah." Aaliyah scowled. "It's General Aaliyah," she said. I laughed. "Okay, General Aaliyah. Yes, we shall." Aaliyah humped at me once, and we went on. That's the time we, the A duo, heard something. It was a sort of rumble. The sound groundwater made when it was rushing through caves at hundreds of miles per hour. We were in big trouble. Big trouble. "Is it just me?" Aaliyah asked. Are these passages getting, well, flooded?" "I wish it was, but it's not just you, Aaliyah," I said. Us two sprang into action. Literally sprang. I tried climbing up the wall, though it just fell down again. "Ow," I moaned. I could practically feel the water carrying me away. Staggering to my feet, I grabbed a rock. I knew that if I held on tight enough, I just might have a chance. Aaliyah gave me one of her good idea looks and came to join me. The water had caught up by then and was seeping through my shoes. My hands were starting to hurt, but this wasn't training. It was L-I-F-E space T-H-E-R-E-A-T-E-N-I-N-G. I don't know if I spelled that right. I repeat, it was L-I-F-E space T-H-E-R-E-A-T-E-N-I-N-G. The water was sweeping me around wildly now. I was losing my grip. Aaliyah grabbed onto my arm and tried to pull me closer to the rock, but I swept down the underground river. The next thing I knew, a partner was tugging on my cape. I had closed my eyes because I was starting to get motion sick and was trying not to, not in front of Aaliyah, of course. "Aaron, I don't think we are underground anymore. Sit up and look around," Aaliyah said. I sat up and looked around. We were on a fire dragon, 50 feet above ground. "This fellow saved us. I named him Bernie." "Ha ha, good name, Aaliyah," I said. The dragon snorted and then flew on. I grabbed my water bottle and started drinking. You would have thought I had enough water, but I hadn't drunk any river water, obviously. To pass the time, I started reciting rhymes. Aaliyah shifted. Then I remembered something. Quick question. "Where exactly is this dragon, Bernie, if you insist?" "Taking us," I asked. "I didn't think about that," Aaliyah said. "Let me try to steer him. It shouldn't be much different than steering Stormy." I gawked at her. Excuse me, Bernie is a wild dragon, not a tame one. Searing Stormy is much different than searing him. Aaliyah snorted. How do you know that? We haven't even tried. I groaned. Crazy Aaliyah. Oh, all right. I undid my belt and slipped it around Bernie's neck. Hold on to this, I instructed Aaliyah. Perfect makeshift bridle. Before Aaliyah had a chance to try it out, Bernie landed. We were on a beach, far away from the forest keystone. Change of plans. Let's look for the beach warden, Aaliyah asked, sounding a bit guilty. It's not your fault, I said, not totally meaning it. It's Bernie's. It took us here. Bernie's fault completely. Aaliyah wasn't convinced. Okay. Maybe it was partly your fault because you let him carry us off, I admitted. Well, I'm going to fix this. Anyone up for hitchhiking? Aaliyah said, trying to sound casual. No, I said flatly. What about asking Bernie to take us back? My partner suggested. He's gone, I said, gesturing to where he had been. Let's start hunting. Maybe we can find a person, fairy, witch, not including with Carradine, or dragon to take us back. They might just help us. I shrugged. It was worth a try. Sure, came a voice nearby. Might just work. I whipped around, my cloak smacking Aaliyah in the face. Who's there? I called. Silence. Must be my imagination, I whispered. Must. The figure laughed. I couldn't help thinking of Oberon, the fairy king in the Midsummer Night Dream, and his pesky little prankster, Puck. Aaron, do you hear that? Aaliyah whispered. Here at the beach of Questlegard, I've never heard of any sightings. But that's because no one's ever seen us, came the voice once again. We hide in the sand, we sleep in the palms. Flipping through her book on fairies, dryads, and nymphs, Aaliyah said, "What he says is true. Water nymphs are very rare to see. There are barely any facts in this section." That is when the boy came out. He was obviously a few years younger than Aaliyah, who's a few years younger than me. I was 17, and Aaliyah was 14. He was carrying a blue trident, sitting in a massive shell. He was a freckled, brown-haired boy with eyes as blue as the sea. There are absolutely no witches in Questlegard, good or bad. You have a 0% chance of finding them. Although, I do have a better idea. Sailing, the boy cried. The forest isn't that far away. That dragon, Bernie, as you called him, was not a very good flyer. He had a mark on his wing, made by a Fallon Fin, a type of water dragon, obviously. That means he swooped down to your aid for whatever crazy situation you got yourselves into and brought you as far away as he could to Questlegard before returning to Havenfield, the land of the fire monsters. You are lucky that fire dragons can resist the puppet master's spells. Whoa, this guy knows his stuff, I muttered to Aaliyah. Yeah, she agreed. She would take his advice and sail the fur reaches, or should we think of something? He is just a 10-year-old boy, after all. I asked Aaliyah. She just shrugged. Sorry, Aaron, I'm so unsure of what to do. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I decided for a group. Boy, we'll sail. We're just like one thing, a boat, I said. Then the boy did something awesome. He waved his hands, and then a boat appeared, a sturdy wooden one. Before I could even thank the boy, he melted back into the sand. Shall we, General Aaliyah? I kidded. Yes, we shall, brave knight Aaron, Aaliyah said, getting my joke. As Aaliyah packed the boat with fruit from nearby trees, I headed over to a palm to squat. On my way over, I saw something. A button. A big red button. Buried in the sand. Right next to the tree. I called Aaliyah over. When she saw what I had found, she let out a small gasp. Aaron, you found the button of the most fabled cave face of the earth. If you press it... Aaliyah's voice trailed off. I don't know what happens if you press it, Aaliyah admitted. Great. The story collector doesn't know what the great and powerful button does, I grumbled. Sorry, Arrow, Leah said. I don't want to ruin the excitement of finding a legendary button. It's all right, let's just continue packing. It's not a very big deal. Aaliyah hugged me and grabbed a few coconuts from a tree. I went behind the palm and relieved myself, sanitizing my hands with salty ocean water. I picked a mango. I put it in Aaliyah's back and went to get another. I knew how to sail, but not very well. I still had the button on my mind. I felt the itching urge to press it. Here goes nothing, I muttered nervously. I stood right up to it. I lifted my foot and placed it down. Hard. I took one step back. The ground opened up inches away from my feet. Out came something, a glorious something, and a glowing orb of something. It sprouted wings and up it rose. A winged Pegasi pony. It swooped and soared, stretching its gorgeous, beautiful wings. I didn't have to call Aaliyah over. She had seen the stallion for herself. All of a sudden, a sleek shore burst from the waters. I should have remembered there were always consequences for touching ancient relics. The aquamarine water dragon shrieked. The Pegasus whinnied with terror. It shot a burst of heat right towards the massive dragon. The sleek shore deflected the blow with an aqua shield, one of the most powerful spells known to man. I grabbed my wand and sent a spell his way. The sleek shore squalled and sent a wave of water. I did a levitation spell and was nearly able to dodge it. Aaliyah pulled me away as a ball of water came hurtling towards me. As I got to my feet, Aaliyah sent a starbright blast at the sand, making a lucky guess of where the dragon was. It was the most powerful species and could melt into the shore, making him almost impossible to detect. Then I remembered something. Fleeksters could not stand mango. Grabbing one of the sweet fruits from Aaliyah's pack, I hurled it far into the sea. The fleekshore immediately became uninvisible and went to eat his delectable meal. Aaliyah high-fived me her special secret way. The stallion trotted over. Then I had my second good idea. I got my cape and spread it on the Pegasi's back. Getting my belt from the ground, Bernie had slipped it off with his claws. I fastened the stallion to the boat. Now I could fly up into the air, our own personal chariot. Flashing a sail out just to look cool, I climbed in. Aaliyah followed. Up, up, and away, I shouted. In what felt like a day, we were back in fur reaches. I ran to Stormy and hugged him. Stormy went to the Pegasus, sniffed him, and reproved. Now what? Aaliyah asked. Explore, I guess. Start from the beginning, I answered. That was all we could do. We could not find the Warden Keystone for a long time. Or so young me thought. We trekked on for hours, tirelessly walking and walking some more. Finally, we got to the top of a hill. As I knelt on a rock, I felt a strange sucking sensation, like I was being pulled into something. Suddenly, I started to fall. I was being sucked into a portal. Aaliyah grabbed my hand, but that only got her sucked into the portal, too. Being in a portal is a bit like going down a water slide. But think of a black water slide with tons of neon lights and much, much faster. Stormy and the Pegasus, who is now called Uno, soared down after us. Then we were there, in a gigantic chamber full of gems. I saw it, the forest keystone, sitting in the middle of the room on a pedestal. Aaliyah reached out to touch it. The sacred warden had lost its glow, but everyone who was familiar with the keystones knew they would regain their shimmer when they were placed on the edge of a pool of gold in the academy. I placed one hand on the warden keystone and whispered, "We found you." Welcome back! I hope you enjoyed the Puppet Master's Revenge. Would you press the red button? Just something for you to think about. Now, to lighten the mood a little, here's a joke. What is a dog's favorite summer treat? A popsicle. Thanks for joining me. Tune in next time. We'll be right back.